Hello, everyone. This is
Hello. Yeah, hello.
thank you.
Hello.
I am so glad to see so many familiar faces for this work talk for Spaceholder. And so during the work talk, I'm gonna want to have sort of meta conversation. There's gonna be both a conversation about your memes and detecting your memes and working with your memes and maybe your mimetic construct and the mimetic constructs of your game world, but also how do you work with other people's memes and other people's mimetic construct and mimetic game worlds. So there will be those two conversation going on at the same time. And any question is allowed at any time, as per usual, in my spaces. And if you haven't been in my spaces really often before, consider that everything's allowed except low drama. Something like that. I want to first start by starting with an experiment, proposing an experiment for the entire session for this hour and a half. And you're going to need your beatbook and pen to take notes about that. Is that as we go along, you might start noticing your own matrix growing, your own. What I mean matrix is your own meme. You might notice that you're receiving there's new memes being put into your being, into your matrix. And there's a particular sensation that's attached to like getting. When I say getting is having a new meme land in your being. That's what I mean by getting a meme. So not as an intellectual idea, but it's an experience of being able to think about things you could not think about before, or experience things that you could not experience before, or even feel what I mean, emotionally feel things that you could not feel before, or take responsibility. What I mean, responsibility is have awareness, have painful awareness. So in possibility management, we have a very particular way of engaging with responsibility, which is responsibility is awareness in action. And awareness is the ability to feel pain about your noticing, for example, or your lack of noticing. And so during this hour and a half, so a meme will be some form of short sentence. It's a sentence. A meme lands in your being, you write it down. So that you can attach the experience of getting a meme with you can attach the experience with the awareness of receiving a meme or getting a meme. Everybody gets this? Cool.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Right, so
Yes.
I want to start sort of from the beginning of honoring another man called Clinton. So it's Clinton Richard Dawkins. People who are called Clintons are just great people. So if you have children, you can call your children Clinton. Not Bill Clinton. It has to be the first name. So Clinton Richard Dawkins, he researched this phenomenon of something replicating, repeating almost exactly from one generation to the next. And he was first studying genes because he noticed, okay, genes just repeat themselves. And there's some mutation sometimes, but mostly they just replicate from one generation to the next. And as he was studying genes, he noticed there's something else that gets replicated almost exactly, almost identically, which are memes. Which is in possibility management, we define this as what you use to think with. So this is, it can also be called the distinction that you use. It can also be called the matrix that you that your five bodies that your being hangs onto, like leans onto to interact with the world. So human beings, we don't interact with the world directly. Because we have this box. We have the ability to think and the ability to think about what we're thinking. And that gives us these means. And the question for today, or a question to carry, is, okay, what means am I using to interact with the world? Because that question basically becomes an interesting source of transformation. And we're here today because basically all of you Gaias are some form of space holder for transformation. And then you have to ask the question, well, what actually creates transformation? I don't know how much you're studying transformation, but for me, it's one of the most fascinating, ecstatic, interesting area of actually what creates transformation. Well, many things, or different things. And so, for example, I wanted to distinguish mimetic space holding or mimetic speaking with, for example, a sharing space, which has sharing space is basically what has been discovered, by the indigenous people a long time ago, but let me say by the white people of patriarchy, or the people living in patriarchy, in the 60s, where they would come and sit in circles and start sharing about what's going on in their inner world. And that would create a form of transformation because it was witnessed or it was complete. So that is one way to create transformation. I would say that compared to mimetic speaking, it has a pretty low impact on transformation. So it is useful. It is a tool that you need as a space holder, but it's a pretty only doing sharings will create only small amount and only one kind of channel of transformation. And for example, another kind of space holding can be storytelling. And so that also very well used in indigenous culture, where it was about myth and about stories that would be passed down from, one generation to the next, and they would be story holders. And if you think about storytelling, is that they can be transformational because they're inviting into an adventure. I mean, this is why we watch movies. This is why we read books. Okay, and there's something that happens to us when we discover stories of what happened to other people that didn't happen to us. It's like it expands our world in some way. But even the storytelling is embedded in a mimetic construct. It's embedded in a mimetic setting. And so if you're not aware of that there is mimetic, then for example, you might listen to a story, but if you haven't built the mimetic world around it to be able to hold the story, it will vanish. You will not remember it. So maybe it has happened to you when you've read a book, and then maybe a few years later you've read the same book, and you're like, this cannot be in this book. I read this book. I can't even remember this chapter. Anybody ever that happened to you? Okay, so that means you've built distinction, you've built matrix, and all of these are synonym to memes in this conversation that allow you to hold more awareness, to hold an experience that before you could not. It's not even imagine, you could not, it was impossible for you to consider that such experience exists. And so part of our work as possibilitators, and especially as bridge builders towards archaiarchy, is archaiarchy is an entire culture that rests on different memes than patriarchy. Completely different memes. Like, universe is a part of memes. And so, for example, you might have experienced that people offer some form of let's say, transformational process or a healing process or some form of context that was interesting to you. But you, for example, you can start noticing when people are doing transformational work in the mimetic construct of patriarchy. That means their purpose is either to fix you to be able to fit into patriarchy, or their purpose is just trying to change patriarchy because they're not building a mimetic, their purpose is not to build a mimetic world outside of patriarchy. And this is what you're trying to do. And it takes a different skill. So I want to talk about that. Go ahead, Sophia.
You just said they the purpose can be that they try to change patriarchy when they hold space for me in the mimetic construct of patriarchy. Can you say a little bit more about that, especially how can I notice that? Because fixing me, I can notice. I have an awareness about that, but the other thing I don't.
Well, one of the ways to notice is, sorry,
Clinton raised his hand.
go ahead.
Clinton.
I just got the impression that if the space holders for the process or the space do not distinguish archaearchy from patriarchy, if they do not distinguish, make that distinction and land it in the space, they're simply trying to repair patriarchy. That's how you can tell the difference. Your question was, how can you tell if they are trying to fix patriarchy? And if they do not land the distinction archaearchy, they are trying to repair patriarchy.
Okay, I got something there.
It
Thank
feels
you.
some kind of incompleteness or something not quite right.
Was that an answer to Sophia, Charlotte?
It was kind of yeah. Yes and no. An answer and a question. That's how it feels to me if I've understood it correctly.
Great. I mean, so for example, Charlotte, and I think a lot of examples that we can work with is us speaking. And when you listen to somebody speak, what they're revealing is their means behind the form of their speech or what they're saying or how they're saying it or what experience they try to sell you or what experience they're trying to have you to have in regards to them is basically an open book of the meme that they're using. So, for example, this was a really, it's, for example, what you just said, Charlotte, is it did not, you could not really say what you wanted to say. Because you use word like, with like this and that, or fake, or did not land, which are words that actually don't mean anything. And so what you're revealing is, for example, what Jeff wrote in his newsletter about this inability to think. We have not learned how to think. And so I wanted, and I think maybe this is the first work talk, but I wanted to start sort of working one-on-one with people and figuring out what's in the way for you to actually think for yourself or think critically. Or think something that has not been thought before, if you can imagine that. Can you speak about something that has never been spoken before? And I think that is related to memes, is can you walk out, and that's like an advanced meme skill in a way. It's can you walk out of a meme set, like a meme territory that you've lived in? And be at the edge, for example, with a question. You can go to the edge of your meme set with a question that you can ask yourself or a question that was asked by somebody else to which you do not have the answer to in You already fix meme set. And then you walk at the edge and the moment you start speaking and thinking about things you have never thought before, there's a way that you're exiting your current meme state. That means you're building memes inside of yourself as you're speaking things that you've said before or has never been said before, or you're thinking things that have never been thought before. It requires a platform. Do you get what I'm saying? To say things and to think things. It requires a platform. And that platform is our memes. So if I go back to this, what is a meme? What is a meme? And what is an interesting meme for us as space holders and as bridge builders towards Archaea are distinction. So all distinctions are memes. Every distinction is a meme. But not all memes are distinctions. So
Say
people
that
are,
again.
yes, all distinction, like a distinction, is a meme. But memes is bigger than distinction. Not all memes are distinction. So, for example, people carry conclusions as a meme. I am stupid is a meme. And that's a conclusion about oneself. Or there's such a thing as right or wrong. There is such a thing as right or wrong. That's a meme. Okay, that's a belief system. It's not a distinction, it's a belief. Or so, assumptions are memes. I don't know if. Yeah, beliefs, conclusions, like story worlds. Story worlds can be memes, like a short story, such as I should do better. There's a story world, I should do better. And that's a meme that then your being gets expressed, your way to interact with the world gets expressed because it's like a trampoline. It's like a jungle gym. Like I should do better, or there's something as right and wrong. And then your life gets expressed through the memes that you carry. And so that's why for me, it is so fascinating to start working with memes, because instead of working with the behavior, you're working with the thing that is expressing the behavior, which will express more than one behavior. So a distinction is something, it's an experience, it's an experiential dis it's an experiential dis distinguishing. You can distinguish between this is that as a sensation, and that is this as an experience. That is a distinction. It's not an idea. It is a differentiation, like a noticing of something that before was together, before was one mesh, and now can be worked differently, can be worked through different paths. So one very a very basic distinction is the four feelings distinction. But there's many other distinction that I would rather work with you. For example, let me see. Well, for example, the distinction of pressure, because this is something that a lot of you have been working with. And so in possibility management, about a year ago, basically most possibilitators thought pressure was real. Anybody can tell me, a year ago you thought pressure was real? If you can put your hand up.
Could you just say that again? Thought what?
A year ago, many possibilitators thought they had this idea, this sensation that pressure was something real.
Feeling pressured.
Feeling pressured. that somebody else could
Right.
pressure them and that would be real, or that pressure they would use pressure as a way of life, like this is how life goes.
Maybe you should ask people how many people still think that that's the
How many people
truth.
still think that this is how it goes?
Well,
All we have.
I would like to share that in my first CTB, the trainer said this has to be a pressure cooker basically for it to work. So that idea that like a training space is a pressure cooker. And I think that's where I got the idea from it.
Okay. But see, so. The trainer used the word pressure in a very particular way. He used the meme of whatever, the meme of transformation of a hot chamber, and you attached a completely different experience to the word pressure. So this is also one of the ways to distinguish meme or to work with meme is that the what you mean by feeling. People attach a completely different experience and story to the word feeling or love or commitment or relating or being. Or we have an entire distinctionary of word from archaic that has to be redefined in the mimetic world, like the mimetic culture of archaic. And to shift from a relationship, an experience to a word, like a relationship to an experience. Let me say that in another way is the experience itself is there, but we don't relate with the experience itself. We relate to it through a meme. And certain meme gives more possibility than other memes. So there's no good or bad meme, and especially there's no right or wrong memes. The question that I carry is, what are the memes that give me and other people more possibility? So I will be completely okay giving almost a contradictory definition of an experience to different people. Depending on what kind of possibilities they need, what will help them, what kind of story world, what kind of meme do they need to attach to an experience for them to have more possibilities than before? And it's not always the same meme. It can be contradictory. So, for example, I worked with people in Brazil, and the word commitment was so linked to manipulation, manipulating themselves, that I say, forget about commitment. Commitment is manipulation. I land it like that. For you, commitment is manipulation. So you cannot use the word commitment. Until maybe 2 years later, when these people would have, grown in all different parts of themselves, and I'm like, okay, let's revisit the experience and the action of commitment and what memes you have attached to it. And maybe you're ready to attach a new meme to that sensation, like to that action, to that experience of what is commitment. So that's what I mean by there's no right or wrong meme, or there's no possibility management meme. There's no, it's like it depends where your people are on the bridge. And so, any questions about that?
Yes. I
Oh, Nicole.
I'm Nicole. I just want to check if I get it right, that meme is everything with what I build my software, with what I build constructs. And is it just related to my mental body, or is meme also related to the other bodies? This is what I don't get.
Yes, meme is what your being is made of. Meme is what your being lies onto or relies, like lean onto. You get it? This is what you're, and your being is wearing all five bodies. So your five bodies is expressing the memes, even if you can't actually verbalize it. For example, well, this is a lot of you as space holders and as former witches in other life, you might have carried the meme of, the energetic, my energetic sense. I have to shut down my mimic, my mim, sorry, I have to shut down my energetic sense, otherwise I will be killed. Okay, that's a meme. I cannot have an energetic sense, otherwise I will be killed. And so therefore, your energetic body is limited in terms of sensing conflict or dynamic or the edge of a space or the context of a space or the purpose of somebody speaking or the quality of a space, the protocol of a space. All of that is your energetic body. But a lot of us are missing memes in the domain to have new possibilities in the energetic body. For example, the study group every Tuesday is a very clear archetypal at this stage, space of sharp, radiant possibility. And you might notice if you participated or listened into the recording is when new people come into the space that they are behaving outside of it. Their behavior does not support the space of clarity. Do you ever notice that in the study group or maybe in other spaces? Anybody ever notice that? Okay, so that basically mean that they have not they do not have the means to be sensitive to the quality, the purpose, the direction, the possibility that lies in an archetypal space. Okay, then the question that becomes interesting is how do you bridge people to actually enter that kind of space? Because you all have experienced such quality spaces. Either because you were participating in it and your means, your flexibility to integrate new memes let you enter an archetypal space. You get when you're in an archetypal space, you will receive new memes. And if you have not prepared yourself in terms of letting your box be flexible enough to receive new memes, you will block the space. So your gremlin will come up, you'll be bored, you'll be angry, you'll be resentful, you'll be judgmental. You say, no, this is a sect. There's all these things that come up if you're not prepared enough to enter a space that will make you become somebody different. Okay. Making somebody becoming different is changing their meme set. And this is what you're doing to people. And that is intimate. That is, it's, I don't want to say invasive, but it is invasive. Like the box hates it. It is scary. And so what the work that you're doing or working at the level of memes, it's like you have your hand is you're really doing surgery. You have to get this. It's almost having your hands in their inner structure and tweaking. It's like you're an engineer changing the circuits. You know, soldering different things together, moving these things around, you know, moving the organs around, moving, yeah, Clinton.
Not just being a mechanic changing the engine around, but being a mechanic changing the engine around while it is running. while the electronic circuit is running, you're doing the surgery on it. That's what's happening.
And so what I realize is working at the level of meme is might be the scariest thing really for a human being to do. Because it is that intimate, because it is that radical in terms of transformation. And it,
I have a
yes.
question here about that because I've noticed that I have started finding it really scary to be that close to somebody more when I am holding space for them. And there's something about I'm not there just as a mechanic because my skin is also there too. Like my vulnerability is there. And yeah, I feel scared that I'm also missing something there where I'm losing part of myself in that process or something.
Well, what is probably going on is what happens to me often is I'm at the edge and somebody has necessity and say, this is my edge. And I'm okay, let's go journey together. Okay, I'm walking in the unknown almost as much as them. Even to some degree, where in places that I might have gone before, I have to offer memes that match this person. So I need to have flexibility in myself to be okay with receiving memes that I am landing in somebody else, because they might change me to the degree that I don't know how they will change me. And it's like, but okay, let's go. And so yes, you're losing yourself. I mean, you're losing your previous mimetic structure. You're losing your previous mimetic structure, and that's scary. Go ahead, Clinton.
I just want to add that when you offer a meme to someone else, you can't force it on them. So it's an invitation. They have an invitation to check out this meme. You cannot, we're not doing brainwashing, for example. You open a door, it's an invitation. They can take on the meme if they want. But I lost it. It's something like you can't do it for them, and when they do it, it doesn't come from you. That's what it is. The new meme does not come from the known for you. It comes from the unknown. The new meme, that's what's so great about this work, is that it's invention. That it's not, you're not, you don't have a handbook of memes and say on page 47, this is the meme I'm going to give you now. Three quarters of the memes that I give to people, I never heard of or saw before. And I'm often writing down their memes in my beat book because it's a gift for everybody. It's a gift for the world. So they come from the unknown, but it means you have to go in the unknown and receive the memes to give to somebody else. But then, like Anne Chloe said, you are as effective, at least, if not more, than your client. Thank you.
I have something about that, and this is because I've been building marquees the last couple of weeks. And when you build a marquee, you build it the same way every time, pretty much. Like you put the frame up and then the canvas on and so on. But I noticed that I found like a method, and if I put myself into the method of building the marquee, I sometimes would miss something or, like I'd fall out of contact with reality. So as soon as there's like a method for the construction, I'm in the known and out of the unknown. And even though it's the same marquee, the same kind of way of building, it's still possible to be in the unknown about what is the next step and starting over each time. That's what I was thinking when you were sharing, Clinton.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Eva, you're muted. Go ahead.
I've been chewing on this thing where you said, like, In an EHP, like this sentence of, if I show up with my energetic sensation, then I will be killed. And you said that's a meme. And I thought, well, that's an old decision. So that's the same.
Yes.
And I was thinking, because before you said the conclusion, I'm stupid, is not a meme.
No, it is.
It is a meme.
It is.
I thought that's a conclusion, and then it's not a meme.
No, memes encompass distinction, old decision, conclusions, assumptions, beliefs. That these are all memes.
They are, okay.
They're all memes.
So
I'm what I got anyway, because what I got was, okay.
Eva?
Yes.
I want just to clarify one thing that she was bringing as a, that is not a distinction. A conclusion is not a distinction.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what I'm just noticing is that sometimes I have this thing that there's this old decision and it doesn't work to just say the opposite. And I think that's what happens with this, with conclusions. It just doesn't work out. And I think if it's a meme, then something completely different can open, which isn't just, okay, I'm not stupid. It's totally a new possibility. I think that's what happens if the old decision was a meme.
So yes, and so the way to do it is, well, you know, in my experience is the conclusion or the old decision leans, it kind of is, it's like a fabric. It's all woven together with other memes that make sense. And then all this entire world holds together. Mm-hmm. And if you try to pull on the meme, you try to pull one meme or go, like you said, go opposite of one meme, it doesn't work because it's woven in a whole world, in a whole mimetic that makes sense. And so the way to provide transformation, like what you were saying, Eva, in terms of providing another meme, is to offer a completely different fabric, a completely different world, where there's also other memes around the meme, that the old decision that you're working in, to sustain this whole new world. So, for example,
just a simple example is you could have the story that for a long time I don't fit in, nobody understands me, or I'm not accepted. These kinds of story, but at some point, if you get it, if you go to the point where you took the story, you can take on a different story, a better, you know, a more interesting story. And you can say, I'm a possibilitator. I'm a mage. I'm an inventor of new reality. It's just a different story. Like Aunt Chloe said, it includes a whole different set of skills and memes and a whole perspective, but it's the same exact circumstance, just a different story.
Yeah.
I want to add to that, that when I take on a new meme, I feel that inside myself. I feel what that feels like versus the old part of me.
And so, okay. And how do you work with that?
Feeling.
Well, this contrast.
The contrast is I have a sensation in my body. So when I feel the old construct come, I also have this new sense of the new one. And I then have this choice as to which one I can make and which one I go with. And so I choose to go with the new meme because it lands in me in such a different way, a way that lights me up, lights me on fire and makes me want to move forward.
And so, for example, there was a couple of different ways that you can have the sensation of either receiving a new meme or landing a new meme. And one is, and that's really miraculous, when you're working with somebody, and which really, for me, it is what Rage Club is about. It is what Fear Club is about. It is what Work Talks are about. Also Expand the Box, and of course Labs also, is that if you build this whole new world and people can sort of like tiptoe being, oh, okay, I can stretch myself. Like it's really it is like you have a map and you're drawing new maps, like new continents, and you're inviting people to check them out. Like, no, what are the traditions in this new continent? What are the stories, the story world? What are the music they play? What are the feelings they sense? So I'm gonna make it so you're painting this new continent, and if they can move into it enough, you might give them one meme that will go kukum. And then they can completely move from the old continent to the new continent. And it goes like kukum. And you can have this experience, like this aha moment. You know what I'm talking about? This aha. It's like you've moved from one level of one level to the next, or one continent to the next, kukum. And what Joe, you were talking about is you can offer a new meme to somebody that they're not ready to cocoon, to move into. Their being is not yet prepared. The field is not prepared yet. And so this is a moment to give them experiments to move into the meme one experiment at a time. So they can have experiences of, okay, when I share my fear with other people, I'm more connected. And it worked with the woman at the cashier. It worked with my partner. It even worked with my mother. And it worked with my children. You know, and then they might have this this one experience, after they've built all these experiences that confirm the meme, that all of a sudden they've shared their fear with their children. And the children immediately becomes a different person in relating to them. And that could be the trigger that will move them onto the new map, cocoon. So have you ever experienced that? That you're doing experiments, 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 and at some point you just got it. Anybody ever experienced went like that? Cool. Okay. So I just wanted to give you different ways. How do you build new meme continents? How do you make this bridge? How do you make this invitation? Like Clinton say, you can only open the door. You can only show the door.
I just wanted to clarify that cocoon is not a new word for the distinctionary. It's just a sound. It's just a sound effect. So she's not inventing a new term. It's just that the hinge needs some oil. Some oil to make the thing, go without making the sound. That thing is cocoon. It's kind of rusty. And so
And as this space is called mimetic speaking, I get the sense that this is like really a pivotal thing. Like I speak in a way that helps the person to kind of make this switch. Is that right?
Yes. I can talk about it a little bit. Go ahead.
I'm having this. I'm seeing that there are these two things. There are box memes and there are matrix memes. That there are conclusions and beliefs and stories, and then there are these other things. I don't know about it. It just it seems like there's these two domains, and I wonder if you have any, if you have any clarity about that or anything you've noticed about that.
Well, I've never thought about it before you ask, but the matrix is distinction. Matrix is made out of distinction. And a distinction is, what is your relationship to reality? Like, how close are you to reality? It's like what I mean, I can't say story, but what have you attached to the experience of reality? And basically the research that I found in possibility management is, how do we discover distinction that are closer and closer and closer and closer, as close as possible, almost touching reality? Because if you can work, you can function in the world with those distinction, then when you move, reality moves. Which becomes interesting because a lot of tradition would have this purpose of trying to accept reality, which is a way to be close to reality. Okay, without stories. You accept reality without stories. What is, which is part of the map of possibility. It's part of getting to zero. It's part of hitting bottom. Okay, but what's the use of that? That's kind of my question. It's like, what's the purpose of that? Is, well, the closer you are to reality, the least effort you have to make to change it. And therefore, you're dancing with reality. I think I said that last week or something, is then when reality happens to you, you happen to reality. Okay, but if you overhear in your meme construct, then reality only happens to you. You're a victim of the circumstances. You can have the idea that you're a victim of the circumstances because you have to make maximum effort to change reality. But the more the finer, the more refined, the more elegant, the closer your distinction that you're functioning with is close to reality, you'll be dancing with reality. Synchronicity happens. It's a very, I don't know, like trivial example, but it's something to do, for example, of trying to set up a date or a time for a meeting with people across 5 or 6 time zones. So I think all of you have tried to do this. And there's some people, they try it the first time and everybody can make it. And some people will make offers after offers after offers after offers, and the meeting cannot happen. This is something to do with how close are you to reality? How much can you move reality so things roll in the service of, your bright principle, in the service of what you're creating, of your creation. And so what you were talking about, this box, you cannot get rid of the box. And so this is also something that's for me was shockingly new to arrive in possibility management because I had studied Buddhism. And Buddhism, there's this idea that if you're enlightened, you don't have a box anymore. So I remember sitting in Nepal, and there was a sort of a space holder, a teacher for a question and answer. And I asked the question, how does the Rinpoche choose if he's offered, probably doesn't eat chicken, they're vegetarian, but if he's given the choice between tofu and tempeh, how does he choose? And the person could only say what is most useful for the world. But I said, that's not the choice, if there's just tofu and tempeh, then the answer is if you're enlightened, you cannot choose. Because you don't have a box anymore. You get that was sort of their answer of the enlightened people don't have a box anymore. And that is not my experience. My experience is that what you're talking about, Jeff, is that you're the box, in a way it's like distinctions, your dis the distinction that you work with becomes your box. And so then there's how to say that? It's your box changes purpose from trying to protect you as in a survival purpose to helping you function, like be in the world. How does your box help you be in the world? Well, if it carries distinctions that are close to reality, then your box is a toolbox. And for it, but it doesn't. And you can still choose. You can still make your box optional and go into territories that your box does not have those distinctions yet. Do you get what I'm talking about?
I get it. I'm so just like examining this relationship between matrix and box. Like, I don't have it totally clear yet. Maybe somebody else can offer something, but I'm massaging something right now. I
Okay,
don't have it yet.
you're building new meme territory.
Yes, I feel
Okay.
it.
I also have a question.
I felt scared when you were talking about the making it work for six different time zones. So what would be memes or, yeah, in that particular example, how can I come closer to reality with my memes?
For example, is how much are you, what kind of meme structure do you have that allows you to radically rely on forces external to yourself? And that means, for example, in this time zone thing, is that it's not your mind picking the time zone, it's echo. It's your archetypal lineage. And there's a bunch of them. There's millions of memes about your ability to radically rely on resources other than your mind.
I could also imagine a set of memes that if a person was trying to set up a time for a call with other people and their meme set was to disconnect them from other people, like they stayed disconnected or safe, then you'd have to work with logic or reason or guessing or something. But if you had a meme set that allowed you to just smear into, like really connect with that group of people and connect with them all at once, then what would come out would be a connected outcome. You know, if it wasn't when you start connecting with people, if fear comes up, then you shut down. But if you connect with people and joy comes up and it's like a party time, something like that, then it would be easier to bring the party together at a acceptable call time.
Thank you.
I have this fear about I'm in the last weeks I'm walking around in town and speaking to people, and people started hating me. People know me. And people like I felt like I was kind of in this kind of preaching or trying to convert people to superior memes or to this new meme world that is much better than their memes. And like not only, but that
People will
I
help.
feel this.
Yeah, people will
Yeah.
help hate you for this, for sure.
Yes. And so what I have this fear, like something I'm not getting is around like maybe it's a meme actually, but how to hold this cultural context as something to invite people to that is not the only possible answer. Because that's my fear, that like now like I think I have this only possible answer that I need to invite people to
So you didn't get what we said in the beginning, which was that the answer is we are inventing memes. You get if you're trying to say there's a set thing and you have to fit in there, this is what they've been told their whole life. And this is the most horrible offer that you can make to somebody. Really, the most horrible offer. You have to fit in into another rule book, like another religion, another, sect. Modern culture is a form of a sect. It's like if you don't obey the rule, you become homeless and we kick you out. You become marginal. Okay, so the idea is there is this possibility of regenerative culture. And what are the memes that this person that you're talking to, or this group of people that you're talking to, what are the memes that they need to have right now for them to experience regenerative culture in their life? For them to experience regenerative culture, you get, so it's not like you're not moving people into regenerative culture. You're moving regenerative culture as a possibility inside of people. And that needs to be invented every time.
Another proposal is to st start studying game world building, because if you're trying to convert people to a belief system or a religion, they will reject that. But if what you're doing is you've created a game world that's more interesting than what other people are participating in, and you just are participating in your own game world and having a hell of a good time, people will knock on your door and go, "What are you doing that's so interesting?" So you're trying to apply pressure, and I'm saying learn to create vacuum.
And especially people on the street who have not paid you, you have no right to get in and change their memes. It is not lawful. You do not have permission. But in
Katrin, that she's saying what I was saying before. Okay, you got that, Katrin? Good.
so, but if somebody says, I want to come to you. And any of you, I want to have a coaching session with you. But the first thing I say is, I will change your memes. If you come and talk to me, I will offer to change your memes. And if it's not okay for you to change your memes, it's better for you to talk to somebody else. This is what will happen here. You will feel things, you will go in liquid state, you will discover new parts of yourself that you did not know were possible. And I want to say that for me, this is one of the most exciting part, I think, of working with memes is as I discover new territory, I can experience things that I did not experience before, or people that I hold space for can start experiencing things that they did not know was possible in terms of human connection, in terms of creation, in terms of aliveness, in terms of possibility, in terms of child raising, in terms of men, women, sexual intimacy. And it is okay, that's the game. This is it's a game. How much experience do you want to have as a human being? Okay, this is the journey that we're on, and this is what memes is a huge part of that. It's a huge part of what experience can you have as a human being? What is available to you?
So when I discover that something is not working repeatedly, what my heart would like to, or what I would like to happen or want to create, then I can turn and look what are the memes that I have built around that thing that stop me, or that not stop me, but that repeatedly move me in that groove where it does not work. So, and my question is how do I change the memes?
Well, first is how do you notice the memes? And I think this would be really where to start. And that's a it's a whole world of self, completely neutral self-observation. Because it's like the meme is like a thumb. And if you try to grab your thumb, like if you try to change the meme, it's like you're trying to grab your thumb as you're grabbing it. Like you're trying to try to catch your thumb with your own hand. So if you try to change the meme as you're noticing it, you won't be able to notice it because you're trying to change it with your original meme set. So you cannot change your meme and notice it at the same time. You can. So the first part is to notice it. And what I mean, there's many ways, but for example, one of the ways to notice it is it's to be in contrast, is to put yourself in an environment where your meme set contrasts violently with the environment around you. So for example, traveling, you will, if you have the experiment of noticing your meme when you're traveling, it's a great experiment because the meme set in Mexico or in Brazil is very different from the meme set, or it's not very different, but it's different in some ways to the meme set in Germany. And then you have a contrast. And you can say, okay, I'm thinking like this, but this is not reality. Other people think differently. That's one
So
way.
this can happen in a three cell also. You don't have to, a three cell is just as effective as traveling. If people cut loose.
How many people are you starting to have an energetic sensation when there's meme spoken into the space right now? And you start having an energetic sensation. Okay, cool. This is great. This is great. Because that sensation will become your compass of as you're inspecting you on memes. So, for example, like Clinton said, it can be done in a possibility team or a free cell where the purpose is let's inspect each other's meme. And the way, for example, one of the ways that I inspect people's meme when I'm in a session, for example, or possibility coaching is I have this alarm of when their world does not make sense to me. It's like, I don't understand how you've put these two things together. This does not. Rita, can I take an example with you? This is one of the coaching we did, Rita.
Yes.
So I was holding space for Rita, and Rita tells me I have to be miserable. And that makes no sense to me. I don't believe her. So this is also something for you to notice is it, if you get snapped into other people's world, into other people's meme construct, then you can't do mimetic engineering. Because then you believe that their meme are true. So you have to have a gap between, have your meme set, your meme construct, and the ability, like the skill to go into new meme construct. And that's what you're listening with. Listening with both your own meme construct and the ability of what is the new meme space that we could go travel together into together. And so then for me, it's like I use this detection of what the person is telling me makes no sense to me, but it makes sense to them. How does it make sense to them? And then you can start discovering the meme tapestry that they've put together. They've put a meme, usually there's a keystone. Do you know what a keystone is? Is there anybody who doesn't know what a keystone is? Okay. The keystone is, for example, in a dome building, like in a church building, there's like a, and there's one piece in the middle. It's like a one piece that holds this whole dome together. Okay, and that's the keystone. And if you take the whole keystone, the whole building, the whole dome, the whole construct falls apart. And so you can search, you can look for, as you're investigating the meme construct, you look for what is the keystone that is holding this whole thing together. So you don't have to work, somebody will tell you their whatever, their story, their process, their inner introspection, and you'll get 15 different memes. You get 15 different memes, and it's like, okay, how am I gonna take how am I gonna work with 15 different memes in one coaching? Like we have an hour now. So and the point is there's a cornerstone that and you only really need to work with one meme. So and so the game, it's sort of you're it's like a video game. You're trying to find what is the thing that holds the whole game together. And it usually has in my I can only share really how I've been working with meme. This is my first meme work talk. So I'm stumbling as much as you are maybe. Anyway, I'm stumbling. And it's and it's this, there's a heaviness to that cornerstone meme. There's a truth. There's a, it's like, it has to be like this. It is like this. There's solidity, whereas the other one might seem to be more flexible, like more moving, not as intense in a way.
I have a question about this. I think it's about this, but one of the challenges I've had recently is in a coaching space. I was talking to someone, and I was having an experience of they were saying a bunch of different, like a bunch of these different things, the 15 different things, and I could sense there's one thing holding them together, but I couldn't quite find I think I did eventually, but I couldn't quite find the words or the clear articulation. It was like all I could sense is these all hang together somewhere, but the like real place where they hung together, the skill of being able to say that enough, clearly enough, so that it creates something in them. I was missing that. So it was this kind of stumbling. And maybe my question is something along those lines of how to really practice or become more precise with this articulation of a keystone.
One idea is to notice the purpose, because a person's defense strategy, the survival strategy, will naturally tend to try to keep that keystone secret or keep it most well defended. So I was, it would be the, and that's the one you want to go for. Yesterday I was working with this woman who had taken on some shit, some like some attack, whatever, some curse from an ex-partner. And so I was hammering at what her meme set was. And it's a woman who's basically gotten rid of most of her stories and excess memes. And I just hacked, hacked, hacked down to this one meme, which is, I am trustworthy. And I said, what if you are not? And she immediately attacked me. It was like, okay, nobody's supposed to even think that I am possibly not trustworthy. That is what my whole world hangs on. I said, what if it's a lie? What if that mimetic construct that I am trustworthy is the thing that the shit is clinging on to that's killing you? And so we were able to go through this process that she could take that core meme that I am trustworthy and let it flush down the toilet, and the shit went with it. You know, the curse went with it. So we didn't have to attack the curse or blah, blah. We just attacked the thing that she was defending the most. You know, and I had to yell at her, just yell and yell and say, what if you're not trustworthy? You are not trustworthy. You know, what if that's true? And so she could finally go there. And that was the kind of thing that I'm talking about.
So I think also, Devin, what you're talking about is this ability to think. Really, this ability to detect a closed system in which we've been not been trained into, because otherwise we would notice that modern culture is a closed system that has the reasoning holds together inside of itself, but you put one foot outside and the whole thing is like, this does not make sense. This is crazy. This is insane. So we've been trained to believe in a way, or to not question, to not step aside of what is being said. And so one of the ways that I've trained myself in mimetics is 5 years of law school. Completely closed system that completely makes sense within itself. And I learn to figure out, oh, this is attached to this, and it's attached to this. So this makes sense, and this is the result. So you can do this in, for example, writing articles. If you write articles where you have a beginning, and for example, a survival habit, you want to particularly like emphasize a survival habit, and you have an end, which is this is possible. Something completely different from this is possible. You have an end result. So you have beginning and an end, and you can practice how do you build the steps, the mimetic steps, close, very close to one another. So the person at the end of the article, the possibility becomes real. You know, it becomes a true possibility. It becomes an option they can choose from. And so that's one of the ways to train this ability to think in terms of meme. And the more you can do that, the easier you'll be able to like really put together. People say three sentences is like, oh, okay, this is how you have it to put together inside of you. So I just want to say this is also a question that I do ask often, either in coaching or even in groups when I'm working, is how do you have it put together inside of you? How did you put it together inside of you that it makes sense? And then people need to look at their mimetic construct, and they will, for example, what can often happen is that they start their mimetic constructs such as I cannot speak up, or I cannot say no to a man. Like whatever they come to you with, you know, I cannot make a boundary. And then I ask it, well, how did you put it inside of yourself that that is happening? For example, that would be a question. And they will just say, well, I'm not allowed to speak up. That's the same meme. They've gone fool around the mimetic construct without noticing it and gone back to the beginning in about 1 second. And I say, slow down. There's about 10 different pieces construct. There's 10 different walls that you've put together, that you have it together, that you cannot speak up. Tell me how it goes. Slow down. So you could have, that's one way to work with mimetic construct. Is to have people tell you one step after another, how does it go in a 1 second time lapse in their life?
Then it might not even be their original meme. They could have simply adopted it from their mother so that they could match on and be resonant so they could survive with their mother. Then when you get to that clarity, they can, it's easy to, somebody had the question, how do you change your memes? And that's easy to give the meme back to your mother, for example. But, and just to add on to that, another way to get rid of memes it does not work to fight against a meme. That only makes it stronger, like isometric exercises. You strengthen that which you oppose. And so instead of opposing an existing meme, be attracted to a different meme, something that's more fun, more interesting, more exciting, more empowering, that go towards a different meme. And when a meme is not used, it will compost. It will just disintegrate over a few months. You don't have to fight it.
I want to share something on that, if it's okay with your going along and Chloe. Okay. I had a process once with I think Devin held space for me about this a meme about I was in the swamp. A meme about some fear I had. And he said to me, the fear might never go away. And that was connected to this old meme that it might never go away, this old meme that I had that was connected to the fear. But what he offered was a new identity, so a new meme to go towards, the researcher identity. And we really checked it out with what's the bright principles? How does she move? How does she think? What is she made of? And that was much more interested. And I noticed that the old fear and that was connected to the old meme in that particular case slowly fell away.
Thank you. Thank you. We have 15 minutes, and somehow I just want to try it out and have just a short practice. A short practice. which is, let's do this. So check out, you just choose somebody on this on the screen, and you're scanning them, and this is a practice in scanning for memes. If people have not yet spoken, you can even already scan for memes in the way they breathe, in the way they stand, in the way they look or look at you or don't look, in the way they're showing up in the camera, in on their screen. There's so many ways that we reveal our memes. And you choose this one person, and you notice an Arkin meme, like a meme that seems interesting to you that they carry. You scan for a meme that they have. And when you're done, just put your hand up. Great. Does somebody want to share who are you scanning and what memes do they carry that is interesting to you?
I got from Alexandra that it's more interesting to be me than to be nice.
That's her meme. Okay. Thank you. Somebody else?
I got from Maya, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name right, that I can be more in connection when I have my energetic center on my physical center.
So, for example, Tristan, that you're for example saying that Majer is somebody who is centered, because if she had that meme, then she would be centered. So it's possible that, for example, so you have an experience that right now she's centered.
Yes.
I don't know how to say this. It's like, if you scan her, if you scan Majer, are you getting that Majer is somebody who really enjoys being centered?
I get more the sense she's like practicing, like
Okay.
she is practicing to be centered, and she
Okay.
knows this has more brings more connection, but this like difficult. Can be difficult.
Okay, so that's a different meme than what you said. Because basically the meme that you said is Majer is the poster child, is the poster kid for being centered. Like that. You could put it on
Okay.
a possibly management poster for centering. So just to check it out about what is the meme that you're scanning?
I don't understand.
Do you have something?
I would just try to give an example of what I was scanning.
For me, what you were saying were more of a conclusion. It was more of a conclusion about Majer than an experience of her in reality.
Okay.
Right. And so to distinguish between the conclusions you make about people as a way to fulfill your own purposes, to fulfill your own purpose instead of actually being with them where they are in their mimetic structure. That was it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Clinton.
I was scanning Aye Brooken, and I had the Arkin. I was interested in the Arkin meme that a professional, intelligent, professional, capable woman can upgrade her thought where ongoingly. That was the meme I was getting.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
I just want to move on to the other experiment, the other side of the experiment, which is, in a way, it's easier to scan for what is than to scan for what is not there. And so the next experiment is choose either the same person or a different person, your choice, and scan for a meme, an arcane meme, or a meme that would create possibility for them that they're not carrying. A meme that would be interesting, but they're not carrying. That they would need, basically, that they could need.
That's interesting.
And when you have one, you just I assume put just your hand up. This is scanning for potential. This is scanning for the invisible. Okay, who would like to try it? Which is basically at this point, the proposal is to try to land the meme in the person. So you both scan for what the potential, and now the experiment is to land the meme that is not there yet into the person. Clinton, go ahead.
What?
You have your hand up.
I got a Jeff Rishab meme that would be missing, which is the universe supports me. I got one from Zozan that says I can take up the whole space as a different meme that's not there. I got one from Nicole Netta, which is that my wildness can be visible. My wildness will not frighten off people. It can be visible. I could keep going, but.
Eva.
I have one for you, Millicent, and that is what I have to bring is exactly what is needed right now.
And I have one for Sabine. It means I have all the time something to say in every moment.
I have one for Sophia, which is I feel joy to play.
I have one for Sosan. I am enough and I rely on the source.
So
I have one from Rita.
I just want to give, hold on, Oliver, just a little quick. This idea of I am enough, I am pretty careful about that meme because you can have this idea of I'm not enough. It's, for example, it's the same thing as you're deserving because you're behaving in a particular way. And so there would be behaviors that means you're not deserving. And so it carries the meme of a judgment or measurement. Yeah, it carries the intention of some form of measurement of being enough. Yeah. Thank you, Oliver.
I have one for you, Rita. It is, I don't give a shit about what other people think.
You.
It's a meme. I don't give a shit.
It's a significant possibility coaching meme because if you give a shit what your client thinks, they own you and you don't have access to possibility. So it's an important meme for possibility coaches.
Couple more people.
I also
A
have
couple.
one for Sabina. I'm valuable.
Could you repeat that?
I am valuable. I'm value.
Okay.
Great. So
Nicole,
that's,
I have.
hold on, hold on. Can you feel the difference between the meme I'm valuable,
Yes.
then I am value? Can you feel the difference between those two? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, somebody just say the difference between I'm valuable and I am value.
I'm valuable is about is more about me or towards me. And I'm value is it creates a space that is also for others, where you're mm-hmm. much more connected to others and to the resources.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So it's amazing. I know that other people want to, but it's amazing how three letters can change a meme and can change mm-hmm. the identity that we take. And so there's this refinement, there's this elegance to working with meme, but for the difference, of course, doesn't come from the three letters. It comes from the experience that's behind the word valuable or value. Hannah, you're going to speak?
Nicole, Netta. I don't have.
Hannah, we can't hear you.
Stand to know.
Hannah, we can't hear you.
Okay.
Try again now.
Get closer to your.
I don't have to understand to know.
Yes. And this was for who?
Oh.
Nicole
Netted. Great. Yes.
I've got a meme for you and Chloe. I really need to do an 8-week series about mimetic speaking. People.
I have one for you, Kian. I am connected without having to prove myself.
Yeah. Lisa, were you going to say something?
Yes, it was about the valuable. It's similar with the enough. So I want to just cross out the word enough for Sosan and say, I am.
I'm closer to the camera, please.
To cross out the word enough and just say, I am. And this is a totally different standing than to add the word enough.
Mm-hmm. There's a process called the I am process. And that one, in my experience, the way I've noticed it's to navigate somebody to that meme. It's basically navigating somebody to complete this identification, complete this identification, where any kind of identity, if that meme goes in, will not have grip anymore. The person will never ever be snapped into any kind of identity. It will have this freedom of movement of I am, and then choosing an identity when it's necessary, or choosing to be nothingness when it's necessary. And so it's usually it's an intensely emotional process from my experience. But it's a very cool. If you ever get to that place to do an I am process, I highly recommend it. Okay, we have about 1 minute, and I'm okay staying just a few minutes longer. Anything from anybody? We're basically in the middle of it. There's no ending in here. We're in the middle of the journey, and I'm leaving you on the cliff. Just to keep building you on memes. about mimetic speaking.
I'm still fascinated by I am valuable and I'm enough, because it includes this whole story of not being valuable and not being enough. Kind of the opposite is like so tangible in it. And so this makes it so clear that you just have to invent something completely different.
Yes. So, like, even the word worthy could also be in there. Like, worthy, I am worthy. There's so many. I could keep
Who
going.
Decides?
Yeah.
There's already, in those words, there's the fight is implied, too.
So, like, yeah.
That they're there as a buffer or a contradiction. They exist as a contradiction with that purpose.
You could just replace I am not worthy. You could just replace it with I am Coca-Cola.
And I was thinking even I am, even that can have like a whole bunch of unspoken words afterwards as a meme. So like, I am, I try to convince myself, I am, what do you really mean?
I'm getting this thing of like, if you were to place not in it or not, like what is the thing you're focusing on? So if I were to say like, I am a mage, or if I said I'm not a mage, I'm still thinking about being a mage as the meme versus like, am I valuable or not? It's like, no, whether it's a positive or a negative of it, I can't avoid the thing that I want to focus on, which is, am I valuable or not? Versus just, mm-hmm. I'm just only focusing on, am I a mage or not? And then my attention is on being a mage.
Mm-hmm. Actually, your attention should be on, can I prove it?
Right now?
Go. There's no other time for a mage.
Oh, Jacqueline.
So there's much to discover. I think there's really a lot to discover and a lot to share, really a lot to share about working with memes and being aware of memes. And we've been mostly working with memes in this talk about individual memes, like the memes that you carry or the memes that somebody else is carrying. But there's this whole domain of researching memes of game worlds, memes of culture. What kind of memes can a culture live on, you know, be supported by, that creates different possibility in, like, for the people living in this culture, in relation, you know, in interactions, in even more than one-on-one interaction as a, you know, for example, the bridge house, the women's bridge house here in Brazil, they're inventing a culture. Every day they're inventing a culture, and they're inventing it by putting in place new memes that allows this culture to actually be alive, not as a rule book, but as a true aliveness between them. And so bridge houses are a fantastic environment to discover cultural memes and conscious cultural memes. I'm going to officially close the space. So whoever needs to go, you can go. And I just feel like sticking around and talking with whoever's here. And so I'll just be here. But thank you.
And Chloe, I have a question for you. So we talked a lot about this kind of like mimetic deconstruction process when kind of confronted with a client who has this old decision. And I was really, I'm really curious about how do you know when to go the route of the EHP and when to go the route of mimetic deconstruction? Because it seems like they're two very different processes. And so what's the key?
I mean, in some form or another, they're in a way all mimetic shifts. Because if somebody makes a boundary, they're changing many different memes. But one, you know, feeling anger is valuable, is okay, you know. Anger is anger. My voice matters. And then the boundary itself, you know, of whatever stops, what's enough. One of the hints is, for example, if I know the person, like I've been with them for a while and that they've made boundaries, they've changed old decisions, they've even done decontaminate, you know, like gremlin transformation and decontamination, and the thing just does not go away. If the thing does not go away, then usually I will try to go for that. But it can also be the complete opposite is if I have somebody who I'm sensing is ready, like is skill enough in inner navigation to go straight to the root cause. And it's like, okay, why not? Like, let's just go straight into the seed, and how do you say it? Like, plant a new seed. You know, we're not touching the old seed. We're just planting a new one and moving their identity into that. So, yeah, for example, that would also require for somebody to be able to feel, to inner navigate pretty well, because mimetic engineering constructs are different from EHPs in the way that we're not following the emotion. So in traditional EHPs, there's an emotion, and then it's like, okay, let it get bigger and let it speak, and we follow it back to the source of when the knot was created. And in mimetic processes, it's when the person unfolds the meme, there needs to be feelings, but we're not following those. And if the person can't feel, forget it. Then you're just doing feelings in a navigation. But I think try it out, Ethne. Try it out even if you don't know how to do it. You know, really try it out if it would be safer to go into an EHP, just do the mimetic, check out the mimetic. And so then you'll create a sense for yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And I thought what you were going to say is that we talked a lot about dismantling, like, memes in a way, or offering new possibilities to memes, like to old memes, like offering alternative memes. But I thought what you were going to say is, how do I build meme world from scratch instead of having something that you're trying to move away from? How do I build meme world from scratch that is not opposing anything, that is not trying to fix anything, but just for the hell of it? Just, and so there might be another work talk about that.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was listening to a recording from a trainer, Jim Zavos. And
oh, Tristan, by the way, his name is with a Z and not a S.
Ah, thanks. I don't know why I do that.
At the beginning. So, at the beginning of his name, it's a Z.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Zavos. And he talks about the trainings he was offering, that he brings, like, the way I understood it, he will work on one main distinction for a day. And he said, with 100 different examples, he said he's 100 different examples up his sleeve to bring this distinction from all these different angles. And that's something I'm interested in, building the skills to be able to, or building the skills to be able to do that. And for some reason, it's difficult for me to find examples that work and that are different from, I think my channel is to go into explanation sometimes instead of to. So I'm just wondering if you have any possibilities or hints or.
Yeah, one of the big hints is to, when you land one distinction and there's, like, for example, like 20 people in the room, you look at Oliver and then you give the example that Oliver needs. And then you go to Devin. And then you scan Devin and you give the example that Devin needs. And then you go to Nicole. But you have to look at one person. And then you do everybody like that. And then you start over from the beginning with their new matrix. And they'll need to hear something else. I mean, that's a fantastic, we sometimes do it in the Possibilitator training skill, where you have one question, your own question. You have to answer your own question to four different people. You can do that. Tristan, you have one distinction, and you're in the Possibilitator training out there, and you do that. You land it, you know, example after example after example, scanning the matrix. Cool. I just want to say that, in a way, this is a very masculine way to go about mimetic. Because I can feel in me as a woman, it's like, let me paint you the tapestry. Like, let me give you a thousand distinctions that will, you know, come together and you'll get one or two of them, but you'll have the whole world that goes with it. And so.
Wait, that's for you as a, from the feminine perspective? Okay.
I think so. There would be this everythingness. It's like, let me give, but both are useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both are tools.
Ah, right. Yeah.
And as a woman, I want to say that I probably err more on the Tristan side than the Anne Chloe side. And this is something I want to shift because I think I identify more with the masculine side. So there you go.
I mean, so in Tristan, I haven't talked so much about that, but there's mimetic speaking is a particular form of speaking that we're about building memes sort of one after the other, or noticing memes one after the other, like how do they fit together? How do these meme constructs make sense, our sense making, or fit into our sense making machine? But there's many things that also empower mimetic speaking. And one of them is telling stories that match with the new meme, which gives a reference point that some people can learn with memes and some people need to learn with stories. And so if you attach a story or a possibility, like a story that either happened or a nonlinear possibility story, that can help anchor the meme. And so that could be one of the 100 things that Jim Zarbas was doing also.
Yeah.
And I just had this idea. We were talking I had a work talk with Vera and the Women of Earth of the Bridge House. We held space for a work talk about possibilities beyond patriarchy, which is all about building a whole new mimetic culture that is distinguished from patriarchy. And we were talking about women go first, you know, because women source archaiarchy. So one of the stories I gave came from one of my dreams, where I had this dream where I thought, what would happen? I think it's possible for all women to have their period at the same time. Every woman in the world. Is that, what would happen? You know, something would break. Something would explode. And so that was an example that a couple of women needed to attach to this idea of what would happen if women really came together, were collaborative, were in sync instead of competing. An example that they've maybe never thought of what kind of synchronicity feminine can have. What kind of synchronicity the feminine can, what does that mean? What does it look like in whole new universes? So there's, I don't know, for me, it's just what I'm getting is that you're making your world dry. You're making your world dry thinking that the distinction are true or the distinctions are dead. In a way, you're making the distinctions dead. And if they're alive in terms of you need to invent the distinctions as you speak it, then your whole life is, your whole experiences is feeding those distinctions. Your dreams, interaction with Gabrielle, when you go on walks on nature, what you notice two people doing at a cafe, something that you hear in a tape, an article that you've read, the news that you've heard, like all of that feeds it brings alive, like it gives wind to those memes, like those distinctions that are already alive. That would be a way to bring them to life instead of making them dead as if they're rules or they're right.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. There's a weird experience in me, like, because when Jim Zarvos said that, I can totally feel his 100 examples behind him, and they were alive. And but I don't think they were just in his head. And so, yeah, somehow I want to know that I have 100 examples behind me.
Well, it means you're asking to radically rely on the unknown.
Yeah.
This is what he had behind him is the unknown. You look at somebody, the unknown speak. Look at the next person, the unknown speak. Through his archetypal lineage, through his bright principles.
And he knows it. Yeah, he knows that that's there. Because I kind of want to have the examples written down so I can pull on them.
That's the way you make them dead. That's the way you kill the life. Is you think you need to know. So that's one of your memes. You think you need to know. It's a huge meme for men. It's one of the core patriarchal meme. I'm going to close the space now. I have a call in another 15 minutes. Thank you very much. I love you. I love having fun with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
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 Bye.